From WBUR Boston and NPR, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. It sounds almost too good to be true. Floundering in the job market, go to a coding boot camp for maybe 10 weeks and the jobs will come raining down. Good jobs, strong salaries, new career. A lot of these boot camps are brand new. They're getting headlines with a formula that goes like this. Barista becomes instant web developer, data analyst, big earner. They're not cheap. Some are quite selective. What's at work here? This hour on Point, coding boot camps and the U.S. labor market. You can join us on air or online where this conversation is always on. What do you make of the sudden emergence of coding boot camps? Would you go to one? Have you gone? Would you hire someone fresh out of a boot camp? Is this the new model for American career training? Does it add up? Join us anytime at onpointradio.org or on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. A lot of promotion going on out there and news coverage. Here's Charles, Evan Charles, co-founder of Launch Academy, 10-week boot camp in programming, talks about how the program works in a video. Of course, this is from his own homepage.
So how is it possible that we can teach what you can learn in a four-year degree program in 10 weeks? So what we do is we teach the 10% of a formal four-year CS program that's practical, applicable knowledge that you're going to use day one on the job as a web developer.
Okay, he's got a school, a course, a boot camp to sell, but here's someone else talking about it. President Obama in March, National League of Cities Conference in Washington, announcing his new Tech Hire Initiative, aims to expand access to tech jobs through education, increasing recruiting.
It turns out it doesn't matter where you learned code. It just matters how good you are in writing code. If you can do the job, you should get the job. And while four-year degrees in engineering and computer science are still important, we have the opportunity to promote programs that we call, for example, coding bootcamp or online courses that have pioneered new ways to teach tech skills in a fraction of the time and the cost.
Okay, there's a pretty highly placed endorsement. What's going on here? Joining us now from New York, Liz Eggleston, co-founder of Course Report. It's an online resource for people considering coding schools. Course Report makes money from schools that advertise on its website and from generating leads for schools. Liz Eggleston, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me, Tom.
And with us from San Francisco is Andrew Chamberlain, chief economist at Glassdoor, a jobs and careers marketplace where you can find anonymous employee reviews of companies, job listings, salary information. Andrew Chamberlain, welcome.
Hi, Tom. Great to be here.
Okay. Liz, what's going on? The president of the United States kind of saying, four-year degree, who needs it? You go off for 10 weeks and you're a coding whiz. What's really being taught in these boot camps?
Yeah, so these coding boot camps are super intensive. They're accelerated learning programs, and they're teaching beginners, sometimes people with a little bit of experience, digital skills, so web development, mobile development. And then we're also seeing that model sort of applied to other digital skills like data science, design. They last about 10 weeks long, and they're pretty intensive but also pretty expensive.
Data science, that gets thrown around. What does that mean?
Yeah, so web development is sort of what these programs started for, but data science is sort of manipulating that data using, like, we hear the term big data a lot, so using programming languages like Python and R and Hadoop to understand what that data is telling us.
This is for companies to look at who's doing what on their website or who they're interacting with or patterns in their business that they may want to be aware of.
Exactly.
And what about the schools? There's lots of them out there now. You know, we've just come out of this time where the Obama administration cracked down on a lot of higher private education, Corinthian and all the rest, big, big fines on these companies, terrible numbers about graduation rates and the amount of debt students came out of private schooling with, and a big crackdown. What are the numbers when it comes to boot camps and software development? Is this just another round of kind of scamming?
I'm not sure. So when we started Course Report, there were about 40 boot camps in our directory. Now there are over 200, and that grows each week. So that includes some part-time programs, some online programs. But the way that we really tell if these boot camps are legit or not is by job placement numbers. And that is sort of what people are focusing on now.
So what's the placement rate?
So you will hear different placement rates depending on the market, the city, the boot camp. You can hear up to like a 98% placement rate. Mm-hmm. In our like independent research of about a study of about 500 students, we found that 75% of graduates surveyed reported being employed in a full-time job that was requiring the skills learned at a boot camp. So that doesn't include, you know, people can go into freelancing, a part-time job, and things like that. But the majority of students are getting jobs after they graduate. And their average salary increase was something like 44%, which is not bad.
That's a pretty good jump. What's the general length of these courses and what's the range of cost?
Yeah, so the courses are generally about 10 to 12 weeks. They can range from 6 weeks to, you know, 6 months in the case of a school like Galvanize. And then the cost is around $11,000, although that can also range up to $20,000.
And the range of salaries, wages, people are coming out and being able to get?
Yeah, so it's anywhere. It truly depends on the market that you're in, but it's anywhere between 50 and you know, Hack Reactor claims that their average starting salary is around $110,000. They're also accepting students who have a little bit of experience once they start the boot camp, so they're probably being able to place. They're probably being placed in you know higher positions.
You're listening to this, Andrew Chamberlain. You know a bit about it. When we were reading story in New York Times, very prominent, big photograph, big headline. It's about a barista who goes from $20,000 a year to $100,000 plus a year after, you know, whatever it was, 10, 12 weeks of boot camp. What's driving this?
Well, the bigger trend that's going on is we're seeing a diffusion of tech jobs out of the traditional tech employers like Facebook or Amazon into firms that would never normally have hired people with tech skills. So consultants, healthcare companies, retailers, anyone that's dealing with large amounts of data, anyone who wants to do e-commerce or needs a mobile app, anyone who wants a web presence and wants to have a beautiful web experience for their clients, they need to have these people in the door. So that has led to a rapid expansion in demand for anyone who can write Python code or write SQL code and get information out of a database. Anyone who has these data science type skills where they can take business data and use some combination of statistics and business acumen to turn it into information for employers. So that diffusion of demand for these people has led to a huge surge. And anytime you see that, the labor markets always are slow to respond. It takes people a long time to get up to speed. And so these coding boot camps are a typical response that we've seen over and over in history anytime labor markets face these shortages and wages rise rapidly.
So all companies or many, many companies now need a kind of tech staff that they may not have needed once, and that's got this big vacuum going?
It definitely has, and we're seeing it all over the country. It's not just the demand for these types of positions isn't just clustered in the San Francisco Bay Area or in New York or Boston. Provo, Utah, Seattle, even some former industrial cities that have kind of made the transition into the tech world. We're seeing more startups there. And, you know, businesses are seeing the real day-to-day impact of having people in-house who know how to work with big data, can help them design databases intelligently, and can take the reams of data that's generated by their regular business operation and turn it into something useful and become another asset for the business.
Can it be, Andrew, that just 10 or 12 weeks of training can make somebody suddenly worth $100,000 to a company who needs some web development done or some data analyzed?
Well, the way economists think about this type of work is this type of training is as building human capital is what we call it. So capital in a business is like machines that make a business more productive. Human capital is skills, knowledge that that make you more productive and can raise your wages. So the way you should think of these boot camps is as a quick injection of human capital. I definitely don't think that they're a substitute for a four-year degree. And the main reason I don't think so is because a four-year degree, partly it's training and knowledge, but partly it sends a signal that you're the kind of person who can see something through to completion and that you have been exposed to a wide range of knowledge. These boot camps don't really offer a signal. They're not accredited and they don't offer a degree that you can carry with you later. They're purely training. And what you get out of them partly depends on what you bring to them. If you come to a training boot camp with no experience, I don't think you're going to see the kind of huge wage gains that are being reported in some of the better anecdotes.
But you'll come out with some technical skills. How far does that go? Andrew Chamberlain, Liz Eggleston, stand by. Paul Ford also joins us from New York, writer, computer programmer. His recent huge article in Bloomberg Business Week was "What is Code?" about how code is imbuing everything, software code going on in our economy now. Co-founder, managing partner at Postlight, software development firm. Paul Ford, thanks very much for being with us.
Hi, Tom. Thank you for having me.
You're not quite have the mic on there or not quite close enough to it. We'll work on that.
Hi, Tom. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, we hear you distantly. Paul, what do you think is driving this apparent demand for folks with 10 or 12 weeks of code training?
Well, you know, there's just big demand in the market, right? And so,
Paul, you're a little distant there. We'll get that microphone fixed. I don't know what's going on with it right now. Forgive me. Liz, let me bring it back to you with the same question about what's driving the demand. Andrew Chamberlain says everybody has to have this now. Why didn't established four-year colleges see this coming and train for it?
Yeah, so I think we hear this story a lot of a student who had no experience before and then, you know, graduates after 12 weeks and becomes, you know, a full-fledged developer. That's not necessarily what the data tells us. Mm-hmm. So what we see is that most students who graduate from these boot camps have some experience and have a four-year college degree. So the majority of them are have a little bit of work experience, are about 29 years old, and have, you know, been in the workplace before. So they have something to add there.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about the buzz around computer coding boot camps. Out there in that search for jobs and good pay, attention turning to software and writing code, and jump in for 10 weeks, the buzz is, and you can make maybe 100 grand if you're lucky. Maybe not that much. It's not quite that simple, but there's a demand out there as need for technical expertise spreads throughout the economy, and lots of new schools, boot camps jumping in to fill it. Liz Eggleston is with us from Course Report. They keep track of everything going on in this arena. Andrew Chamberlain is with us from San Francisco, chief economist at Glassdoor. Paul Ford is with us. We'll talk with him in a moment. We'll talk with the CEO of one of the big players in this boot camp arena. But first, Paul, I'm sorry we didn't have you on the mic earlier. What do you make of this, Paul? What's going on here? You've got a lot of experience in code. What does a 10-week trained boot camper bring to the party?
Look, I think you can get some real skills in 10 weeks. I think they can be meaningful skills. But I think with these programs, there's at a meta level, you're kind of betting that we're not in a bubble. You're betting that the technical growth that we've seen in the economy is just going to keep going and going, and you're going to be able to get enough skills to meet the demand, jump in, and then hopefully you're interested enough in the field and want to stay engaged and you can grow in that career. So there's a little bit of a gamble there. And what I always think back to, I was in New York City in startups in like 1998, 1999. That was my 20s. Mm-hmm. And in 2001, everything imploded. And I went from making, you know, 70 grand a year to 18 grand a year as a web freelancer. And I noticed that all the people who had shown up and were really excited about the web, they all went home. They went to banking. They went back to real estate. They went wherever they had been before. And the nerds who remained are the people who are now owning businesses, building big web platforms and products. So unless the love is there, and unless you're like ready to keep doing this through the hard times, it can be. I'm always going to hedge. Like I'm always, as someone who hires programmers, what I'm looking for is code and passion and excitement, not necessarily a 4-year degree.
So be forewarned, it's not all a bed of roses, but the economy changes, demand for skills changes. And you got a lot of boot camps coming in right now, schools saying, look, we can train you up in a relative hurry. I want to talk with one of those right now. Jim Dieters joins us, CEO and co-founder of Galvanize. It's a coding school launched in just 2012, now has 130 employees. This year it will graduate 500 students. He happens to be today at the White House as part of a delegation talking about providing government money to students to go to coding boot camps. Jim Dieters at the White House, thanks very much for joining us.
Pleasure to be here, Tom. Hi.
What's your reception at the Obama White House today, sir? Is it as warm as the president's remarks in March?
It's nice and muggy here in Washington, D.C., so it's always a nice warm hug in D.C. late July.
What's the need that your school is filling, Jim?
I think we're providing some opportunity for those that might not have had an opportunity before, on-ramp for those with ambition and aptitude, the opportunity to access the tech industry. And for some folks, a traditional four-year certificate program might have been out of reach, or they weren't at the right point in their life to take advantage of that type of opportunity, or simply it was not possible for them. And we wanted to build a community, a platform, and a curriculum by which we are aligning industry and students that had ambition and aptitude and got them the industry-immersed skills to make them employable today.
How long's your program? How much does it cost?
So our flagship program, actually, Tom, is a six-month program. So like Paul said, learning to code is a lifelong process, and we believe that people should be learning forever. But our flagship program, what we call our full-stack program, which is basically analogous to full-stack software web development, is a six-month program. So we had launched the longest of the, twice as long as the longest boot camp in 2012. That program is $20,000. It is 6 months. And our median salary coming out from that program is $73,000. And we're running at a 97% placement rate. We do have a 12-week data science immersive program that is a 12-week boot camp that's in the $17,000 price range, and our average starting salary there is $115,000.
All those numbers are pretty impressive. How selective are you on applicants and those you accept into the course?
The programs vary. The full-stack one with 6 months, we're able to be much more accepting in taking those with very little or absolutely zero skills because we have 6 months to give them very intense immersive skills in a six-month period. The shorter form immersive in data science, we do have to make sure that they have a certain level of statistics, mathematics, and Python knowledge coming into the class. We do offer workshops and pre-work materials for both of the class to get people prepared and ready to be, to excel in the programs.
And what kind of background are you looking for? Is this English majors who were reading Shakespeare yesterday and tomorrow they're coders?
Well, Tom, I mean, we have a lot of folks that do change careers. We have celloists. We have professional poker players. We have ex-baristas and waiters who have never, written a line of code in their life. And certainly sometimes we do have folks that even have computer science degrees that, were taught more theory and not taught, how to write test-driven code in a real-world environment and work with peers and colleagues and in an agile software development environment. So we get all walks, but we definitely are proud of being able to take those with zero skills and give them an opportunity, like Raina, who was a barista at one of our cafes.
Of course, the guy who was profiled so prominently in the New York Times, 26-year-old math major. He came to you. Now he's out with 100,000 plus, but a math major is a pretty deep background, I would think, for the kind of thinking that might go into some of this work.
Paul and others, do come in. He was in the 12-week data science program. Do come in with great foundational skills. And certainly, we're able to build upon them and give the industry tooling and access to industry that they might not have had previously. And that story worked really well for Paul.
Let me read a response from a couple of people online here. I mean, there are people saying, yes, go for it. Others was giving some warnings. Lynn writes to us, this is on Facebook, says, already went to school for this. Get ready for high stress, highly competitive, insane moving deadlines, endless hours of staring at a computer screen. Scott says, I don't think a lot of people realize just how bloody difficult coding can be. I gave up on it after college because debugging was so frustrating. I would regularly scream at the computer. I was once told by a friend I was so visibly angry I was shaking and didn't realize it. Would-be student, beware. What about those, I guess, warnings, Jim?
Profession has its warnings, and I think not everyone's suited to be a software engineer. I don't think we're all suited to be ER doctors as well, right? I do believe that there is a certain amount of digital literacy and digital capabilities and competencies. There's a very long web, long tail of tech literacy and tech skills, but certainly somebody that wants to be a leading software web developer, I think is a certain type of person. It's certainly not for everybody, and it is hard. It is intense, and the amount of work that goes into it, just like anything in life, you get out of it what you put into it. And our students do work very, very hard.
Describe that personality. Who's suited? What's the mental profile, the ideal?
You know, I think it's so hard to really peg that because I've seen so many different walks of life, folks that I would not think would be greatly suited, but they are. And I think there's one really important thing to understand in terms of the transition of how tech and software is built today. There used to be this way where we used to write, business people used to go in a room and write up a bunch of requirements, and then we shifted over to a bunch of people hiding in some back room or in some other dark corners of the office building writing the code. And that's not the way the world works anymore. Business demands that technology be as close to it as possible because technology is what enables business insights. So we need people, we need engineers that are great communicators, that are great writers, that can work with business and work in these paired programming methodologies. And writing code and solving problems is actually a creative expression. It's not sort of it's not the old way of this monotonous detail. It's actually a pretty exciting, collaborative, and creative process, and that's a newer phenomenon.
We've just seen government cut way back on the money that they were spending on all kinds of private, for-profit higher education. Some big fines there of some very prominent ones. A lot of what looks like wasted money. What are you all asking for from the government? And why should taxpayers be confident that students and you will make good use of it?
That is a great question, and it's honestly why I'm at the White House today. And there are, unfortunately, have been a lot of bad actors in for-profit higher education that have given the industry a bad name. And we're all concerned about the cost and accessibility of programs of education of any kind, traditional four-year certificates and two-year community programs, et cetera. And at the end of the day, we need to steward all of our programs and marketings and activities and our federal dollars to folks that are providing the right type of quality and outcomes. And that's a lot of what we're talking about today is a lot of innovation, like innovators like Galvanize that are coming to market. How do we set a standards bar, and how do we look at building what we call competency-based education programs and make them more accessible and give the right type of student aid and tuition assistance to those that are doing the right thing, that are aligning themselves with student outcomes and providing quality for their students.
Jim Dieters, CEO, co-founder of Galvanize, is the White House today lobbying for government support, lending, and more for students who want this kind of training, this kind of maybe career change. Jim Dieters, thanks very much for joining us.
Thanks, Sean.
Let's go to Liz, Andrew, Paul, stand by. Lots of listeners waiting to get in on this conversation. Jacob in Oklahoma City. Jacob, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
Some of what I was going to say has already been covered, but what I wanted to say as a former programmer, really the bulk of modern programming could be covered in these boot camps or a VoTech class.
You mean it's that simple? We think of it as something deep and wide, the world of programming, Jacob.
It's not. It's creative. You need the right mind. The skills for most modern programming can be covered because you're learning a basic language. The brain behind it has to be able to think about it. And if you don't have that skill set, then the boot camp won't help you. I think the gentleman just speaking covered that. It's... the only reason you would need a degree, and I'm not dissing the four-year degree, is when you get to the deep level programming, writing an operating system or writing the code for the chips. That's where the degree becomes important. But for most employers, they're not looking for you to write a chip. They're looking for you to develop a website or help them go paperless.
And that from a software guy in Oklahoma City, Jacob, we'll pick it up. I appreciate your call. We're talking about the coding boot camps springing up all over the place and where they might take their students. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. Paul Ford, you're a programming guy. How do you respond? Jacob says, look, the 10 weeks, 12 weeks, you got about what you need for what most companies require.
Well, you know, as a classic engineer, I'm going to say it depends. Mm-hmm. Yes, if you're building a simple website, simple tasks can be done simply now, and there are great tools and frameworks, and you can learn them in a short amount of time, and in many ways, you can learn them by rote. The reality is that as things grow, if success happens to the product that you're working on, mm-hmm. you're going to need a more foundational knowledge. The skills that are necessary to reach a few million people on the web in a scalable way or deliver something besides a simple HTML web page with some interactions, those things are actually fairly hard to learn, and they take time, and they require a kind of focus. So I think there's an enormous list, thousands of simple, straightforward things that people do digitally, online, every day. But the reality is, like, an understanding of the foundations is very, very powerful and gives you an enormous amount of mobility in your career. And so I would differ respectfully along those lines. I think that the more you know about fundamental computer science, the more you understand why things are working and the more flexibility you'll have in a career in technology.
Andrew, I guess nobody would argue with that. And yet you've got some people who find themselves stuck. They're looking for a career change. People talk about many career or job changes in the course of a lifetime now. Could there be some kind of new model in this, you know, go at whatever it is that you're interested in very intensively for a couple, 3-4 months, get the technical part of it, and you're in the biz. Then figure out whether it's for you or you want to go deeper. Is there a new model that could pertain to other parts of the economy here, Andrew? Or is this strictly a tech thing?
No, I definitely don't think this is strictly a tech thing. And while this trend seems to be new, it's actually quite old. So I'll share an anecdote. Yesterday, I found mm-hmm. myself in the archives of the New York Times reading an article from 1992.
Okay.
And the controversy at the time was how to retool vocational programs for these new hard-to-fill positions for X-ray technicians, medical records keepers, and paralegals. So, you know, this is generations mm-hmm, ago, mm-hmm. And we see the same type of thing happening today with tech positions. I think that these boot camps definitely can fill a niche, and I think they're quite valuable for certain types of people who already have a decent background, some exposure to programming, maybe who've already done a four-year degree, but whose training was mostly theoretical mm-hmm. and didn't learn how to apply it to real business problems. I think that these short programs can quickly boost someone's income. And I don't think that most people will see a 44% jump in wages, which is one of the numbers that was floated.
Yes.
I think many people might see a 5 or 10% jump. But even that is easy to justify a $10,000 or $20,000 tuition cost.
Of course, it all depends where you start. If you're a barista or a waiter and you're not making a lot, I suppose 44% isn't that hard to imagine. It's where you begin.
That's exactly right. So just to take a simple example, so suppose you're earning $30,000 a year as a barista and you take one of these courses and it only boosts your wage 5%. That's an extra $1,500 a year. And if you're going to continue working for 20 more years, the way an economist would teach to think about that is you should compare how much the program will cost you today against the present value, the discounted value of all of those future gains in your wage. So if you do that simple calculation in that example, you'll end up with about $17,000 or $18,000 higher wages over a lifetime. And if you compare that to, you know, $11,000 out of pocket today, that could be a good deal for some people.
Hi, everybody. Tom here. I'm glad you're joining us for this On Point podcast. Before we get back to the show, I'd like to tell you about another podcast you might enjoy, too, Dear Sugar Radio. Join hosts Cheryl Strayed and Steve Almond as they field questions about love, sex, work, guilt, money, you name it. That's Dear Sugar Radio. You can find it at wbur.org/Dear Sugar or subscribe on iTunes. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about the buzz around computer coding boot camps. In the search for jobs and good pay, attention has turned to software, writing code. The buzz is 10 weeks study, and you maybe make 100 grand, maybe less, maybe. But there's something going on here. The labor market as a demand for your colleges may or may not be keeping up with it. A lot of people are looking to make turns in their careers. Boot camp is working, and it's hot right now for some. Liz Eggleston is with us, co-founder of Course Report. They keep track of all the educational players in this realm. Paul Ford is with us. He wrote the huge What is Code piece for Bloomberg Businessweek recently, co-founder and managing partner at Postlight, software development firm. And Andrew Chamberlain is with us from San Francisco, chief economist at Glassdoor, the big jobs and careers marketplace. Let's hear the experience of our listeners. Lillian is calling from Cambridge, Massachusetts. Lillian, you're on the air. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
My son went to a computer boot camp in New York in February, and in order for him to do the boot camp, he spent 5 months with materials that they sent him to prepare for the boot camp. He spent hours and days before going to the boot camp. He was at the boot camp from February to May. We had to relocate our son. We had to help him with the tuition, which was about $12,000, but with the relocation, it was even more. My son's final exam was to build the eBay website in 5 hours.
Whoa, that sounds ambitious.
Yes, and he did not have a background in computers. He was not able to do it. He did not get the certificate from this boot camp. My son was so upset and so angry.
You mean after all that, after all that effort and expense, he didn't even get the degree?
He did not get the certificate. And my son spent every single weekend, every round the clock, working on learning the computer language Ruby. Just really putting his heart in there. He really wanted to come out with a job.
Yeah.
It did not get him a job. I would tell parents and people not to spend to keep their money, send their kids to school, to a college. If that's what they really, really want to do, let them get the experience. These boot camps do not give you the experience to become a computer coder. They just don't.
Lillian, I so appreciate your call. Paul Ford, there's a kind of warning flag or flare there. Respond to that. Sort of, these are people's lives, and it doesn't work out for everybody. That story reminds us of the old, you know, for-profit higher education places which pulled people in and sent them out without the benefit they were more or less promised.
It's a sad story to hear. The thing is, we can't really do anything for him. What I keep thinking as I'm listening to this conversation mm-hmm. is that we're not talking about the enormous range of things you can do before you do this to make sure that this is something you want to do.
Okay.
And like, there are organizations like Girl Develop It, which focuses on educating women in the basics of development and actually fairly advanced development. There are mm-hmm. chapters all over the country, very cheap courses focused on increasing the diversity in programming. There are meetups for JavaScript and Python and all these different languages. You should take some time before you write a $20,000 check. You should absolutely take the time, go get the Learning Python book, realize the world you're going to get into, take 6 months and make sure that this is something that you're going to find interesting, because it is it's a challenging, it can be very boring. It's a lot of, you have to love a certain kind of grind to get to really like programming. And it's, you know, to me, that's an incredibly sad story, because why was this resolved in the final exam? That sounds like a badly organized program. This, if he needed that help and training and his family had spent that money, why weren't people mentoring him and letting him know what this outcome was? It's very frustrating.
Try and get a toe dip or get a taste for it. See if it's for you, if possible. Lillian, I appreciate your call. Barbara in York, South Carolina. Barbara, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
I've got an observation. I've been in programming for decades, and the people I met when I first got in were people who were taken off the textile mill lines, given an aptitude test,
mm-hmm.
put into a 10-week training program by their employer. Why aren't employers making these boot camps in-house, you know, saving just, you know, reaping from the talent that's already there in their business?
Interesting.
And I'll take the answer offline.
Yeah, interesting question, Barbara. Andrew there, right off the old mill line. What about it, Andrew? Could this be more in-house, or is just the way our economy works, you fish in the big wide sea?
Well, there definitely are many firms who do this type of training in-house, and they usually call it an internship program. So the bigger tech employers, Facebook, and And Google, and in addition, some Wall Street firms, some of the big finance places in New York, they cultivate young talent straight out of an undergrad program, put them into long-term internship programs, and then use that as a pool that feeds into full-time positions. And part of those programs involves intensive training, which in some cases is quite similar to what you would get at a boot camp. So you do see that at some of the bigger firms. But small and mid-sized firms, it's just too big of an overhead expense for them to do this type of thing. So these boot camps can fill in the gaps there.
It's interesting. Liz, sorry.
Yeah, sorry. So one of the words that we hear a lot thrown around in regards to boot camps is this word apprenticeship. So Dave Hoover has a great book called Apprenticeship Patterns. He's from Dev Bootcamp, about the need to build those apprenticeships in the U.S. that promote that mentorship with senior developers to more junior developers, those feedback loops and those milestones for new hires. There are a lot of really good examples of that with Thoughtbot, which is a Ruby on Rails consultancy, does something called Apprentice.io, which is really similar to that. Like that relationship between the boot camps and the employers is super, super important. And there's a lot of, I think with tech hire, you know, we're sort of changing the way that we think about filling those tech jobs. But that switch isn't just like a switch in a mindset. It takes a lot of preparation and like actual planning and these sort of programs to be in place with large employers.
Really trying to think about what it takes to actually have that nimble economy, nimble career path we hear so much about. Glenn in Detroit, Michigan. Glenn, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
I've been programming since the 60s. It's amazing, and I think a statement of where we are today, that you have this on a program about programming on your show.
Yeah.
I'd just like to say three things. First of all, programming is really a creative process.
Mm-hmm.
It's a language. You're writing something. It needs to work. And those in the people in the programming business know what a beautiful programming program looks like. Secondly, the universities, the important thing that universities can provide are methodologies, training in methodologies for how you write and design programs. The thing that they can't do are teach the new languages,
which are coming out all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yes, because they change so often. There are new languages, mm-hmm. there's new development environments all the time. That's where the boot camps come in, and that's where they help. But I think the important thing is you really have to have a skill for this and a good fit for it.
Glenn, I appreciate your call with all that experience under your belt, and you get into a realm that a lot of our listeners are commenting on. And Paul, Andrew, Liz, I'll bring it to you, but let me just give you a sample. Here's one of our listeners, 29er, says, I doubt, thinking of these boot camps, that they're teaching, and I don't even know what half this stuff means, but that they're teaching thread safety, contention, memory hierarchy, virtual memory, algorithm design, time and memory complexity, network stacks, compilers. 29er says, learn the fundamentals first. That sounds kind of like a vote for a four-year degree. But then Matthew writes to us, as a hiring manager in IT, I would absolutely hire from these boot camps. Hiring non-IT with domain experience into senior roles, baristas into entry roles makes good sense. Matthew says, let's also give a long overdue raspberry to multi-year semester-based education model here. Not so crazy about the college part. And Susie writes to us, my husband's worked in web development for years, often works with coders in countries all over the world, China, India, Russia, etc. I guess I never wondered why the coders were not in the U.S. Maybe this is another place where the U.S. and U.S. colleges are behind the curve. Do we have a structural problem, Paul, in the way we've been training for this realm of employment and work?
Well, it's yes. I mean, just because we're not meeting demand. To take those in order, I think that those programs are not teaching that kind of low-level things like thread safety and memory hierarchy. They are not teaching those subjects. The boot camps aren't, because they're not necessary for an enormous amount of the range of basic and entry-level web development.
Mm-hmm.
There are things that you can learn if you focus and you work on understanding the theoretical aspects of the computer. But you won't do the kind of serious low-level programming, which might also include mobile app development, things like that, which are real growth opportunities for people right now. The more you know about how the machine works, the more opportunities you'll have along those lines. And then you see the salaries go up into 160, 180. But at the same time, I reached out to a lot of people before I came on the show, mm-hmm. who I know hire developers. And they mm-hmm. said, look, these people are good, they're solid, they're dedicated, but they require a lot of handholding that first year. And so if you're going to hire these people, you need to be able to sort of sit with them and help them get to the next level.
Be prepared to take it right on down the road. Another caller here, Kevin in Windsor, Connecticut. Kevin, you're on.
Yeah, I would like to say that I've been a programmer for about 20 years, and my success has come not from my computer programming skills, but from my formal education in business. And the fact that I know the business that I'm programming for was much more important than how good I was as a coder.
So this idea of transferring in from another area of expertise or even from barista land, if you're paying attention, that might be helpful, Kevin? Is that what you're saying?
Well, no, I'm actually saying that coding, these boot camps, mm-hmm. it's a basic skill, almost as being able to type on a typewriter,
mm-hmm.
that the knowledge that I have in the business was much more important than being able to understand an if loop as compared to an if statement.
Right. So the business background and awareness as the most important background here. Appreciate your call. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. Liz, what about the range of backgrounds that seem to succeed here? I know at one level it's just an aptitude, but here's Kevin saying, know something about business if you want to put out code that's going to be useful for a business.
Yeah, I think that's something that's really interesting about boot camps is that when people go through a boot camp, they're not, you know, they're career changers, but they're not just abandoning their past career. So somebody who had a background in finance or, you know, real estate or a variety of things are taking that into their future career as a programmer. So you see a lot of like intersections between passions and what, you know, what they actually end up doing day to day.
Craig in Austin, Texas. You're on the air, Craig.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
I just wanted to share my experience. I actually went to school for aerospace engineering and was lucky enough to get a job when I did. However, when I had my job, the aerospace industry was slowly declining and there was a pending layoff in my company. So at the time, there weren't a whole lot of these boot camps, and I wish there were. Instead, I had to use MIT's OpenCourseWare and do everything on my own.
Okay.
And I kind of got thrown to the wolves when I got my actual software job, and now I'm thriving. But since I've taken some boot camps on my own, and I think they work, at least in my situation.
So would you give a thumbs up to people considering this if they're inclined to that kind of work, Craig?
I would say that, you know, if you like problem solving and you think you can engage in programming, you know, with that mentality, then certainly give it a go. But I can't really speak from any other point of view, I guess.
And be prepared to keep working on it, even once you're in that job, if you find it. One more. Thank you, Craig. Dave in Boston, you're on, Dave.
Hi, Tom. I just wanted to totally agree. I think the boot camp methodology is great, but I want to caution people. It is a very demanding career, and you know, you're always in some form of being defunct, just like software and devices, and you know, that we all know as users. Software engineers have to continually learn new skills. So I'd make one recommendation. Before you decide to go to boot camp, go to Khan Academy. That's Sal Khan's excellent free website.
Yep.
Try to complete everything up there that's related to programming. It's an incredible website full of tons of information. If you're still excited about programming after that,
right,
go to the boot camp and you'll be ready to go.
That sounds like good advice, Dave, and I appreciate it. Andrew, Paul warns us here that, you know, every field has rhythms and waves, that there could be a kind of gamble here. We've got an awful lot of companies revving up their own boot camps now, and presumably many more students coming in, maybe out of this White House meeting today, more funding coming that way. What's the chance people dive in here, you know, get busy, spend the money, spend the time, and come out to find themselves stranded as the economic energy moves elsewhere?
Well, we definitely do see these types of cycles in the job market all the time. And professions go through vintages. So in tech, the vintage is quite fast. New languages seem to be coming out from one year to the next. And so anyone who does a program like this and they're getting into this field, they should be prepared for a lifetime of learning. This is not a one-time injection where suddenly you're going to be put on your dream career path. As a researcher myself, I would caution people. Many people look at the large dollar signs in the tech salaries today and want to get into it because they need to make a better pay for themselves. And I have to say, when you look at the research, when you look at what actually drives satisfaction in your job and in your life, salary is important, but there are many factors that are far more influential than the pay at the job. So when you're thinking to get into this field, a very rigorous world of software engineering and database design, you should make sure that you enjoy the day-to-day work and the challenge of it, that it's not just for the money.
That's pretty good punctuation right there. Andrew Chamberlain, chief economist at Glassdoor in San Francisco. Great to have you with us today, Andrew. Thank you so much for your insights.
Thank you for having me.
Liz Eggleston, co-founder at Course Report. They track this whole world, Course Report, if you want to see what's going on there. Liz, thanks for joining us from New York.
Thanks so much, Tom.
And Paul Ford, he wrote the huge What is Code piece for Bloomberg Businessweek. He's at Postlight, also in New York. Paul, thank you so much for your insights today.
Pleasure to be here. Thank you, Tom.
Listeners, good luck, whatever your career path. There's a lot to chew on right there. Maybe the cherry on top of some other kind of educational background. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.